First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springston Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringston.com, where you can check out all of the latest stories or even recent podcasts of this show. While you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, please join our email newsletter group so that we can send you a copy of everything we do. You'll get that on a weekly or monthly basis, your choice. And please join our RSS feed, and we will make sure the radio show, the podcast, get delivered right to your inbox, as usual. For you guys that are new to the show, 858-683-1326 and 502-805-0334 are the numbers to call. For those of you in the listening queue, we appreciate you as always. Just make sure you hit the number one on your dial pad so we know you want to be heard on air. For everybody else, we've got a live chat open on every show. Feel free to join in. You can sign in right here at BTR, or you can sign in using Facebook or Twitter accounts, whatever is convenient for you. How are you, Mr. Martin?
I am exhausted.
Exhausted?
Yeah, pain will take it out of you. I'm 51, and I had my first rugby game of the season last Saturday, and this immediate past Saturday, and pain will just flat take it out of you. Sunday and Monday, I'm just carrying around a burden with me. the pain just takes the starch out of you.
Well, I saw the Facebook post where you're still playing and you're older than most of your teammates' parents. I thought that was pretty amusing. Did you guys win or lose?
We lost. We lost a close game, but it happens. You win some, you lose some. But yeah, the whole Facebook post got me being. I've actually unnerved a few of my younger teammates. Just messing with them. But they said, "Hey." Like, "How old are you?" And they're like, 22. I said, "Damn, you're old enough to be one of my kids." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, maybe." And then I immediately say, "Is that a picture of your mom?" You know, come on, we're rugby players. We got to insult people. We got to say things like that. But I'm like, what? And I'm like, no, seriously. Let me see.
Well,
like,
I'm sure Leia.
25 years ago. You know, let me see. You never know.
Oh man, that's more than I need to visualize. That's more than I need to visualize. I tell you. You know, speaking of sports, though, we've got so many things. Do what?
This
all right, you're breaking up.
Sports drama. Hello.
Yeah. Hello, you're there. I tell you, we have got to get into a couple of sports stories right at the top of the hour so we can move on to what our bread and butter is. But I tell you, you know, there was a disturbing video put out today by Ray Rice, you know, attacking his then-fiancé in an elevator. We knew about this months ago. This happened actually back in February. However, no one really knew the extent of what Ray Rice had done. What's really disturbing is his fiancée ended up marrying him anyway, so I guess she wanted a payday. She thought that was more important than her health. I don't know. But Janae Palmer was punched, I mean really seriously punched, in an elevator. We now had a video out. So now that the video has come out, Ray Rice has been immediately terminated from the Baltimore Ravens. He's on a suspension. It's an indefinite suspension. Most people believe it will last at least 1 year. As far as I'm concerned, this guy ought to be in jail, and Bubba and his buddies ought to have a field day with his sorry ass, but that's just me. You know, on top of all of that, we've got Ben Roethlisberger is now accused of yet there's another sex crime report that happened earlier in the summer. So we're still waiting to find out what's going to happen with that one. But and here's the other story of the day. You think that Donald Sterling didn't really make a difference for the NBA teams, you'd be wrong. Atlanta Hawks co-owner Bruce Levinson announced yesterday that he is selling his controlling interest in the team thanks in part to an inflammatory email he wrote 2 years ago. 2 years ago, Levinson wrote in an email to the other team's co-owners and general manager, you know, that in order to bridge Atlanta's racial sports divide, that, you know, that they needed to work towards getting more white fans, suburban whites, to games. So all of a sudden, this is supposed to be a racial comment from 2 years ago. For as far as I'm concerned, it's a business decision. So why did Levinson decide to do this? I'll tell you why, folks. And, Ed, maybe you'll agree, disagree, I don't know. Levinson did this because the Clippers just sold for basically $1 billion. The most overinflated price of an NBA team ever. Levinson's going to cash in and use the same damn thing that Donald Sterling was accused of, and he's going to cash in while he can. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. So I tell you what, these pro sports people really need to have a come-to-Jesus moment. It really is. They really do because, our good friend Paul in the Stop It, he's in the chat room, and he just pointed out a good thing. Pete Rose was banned for life for betting on a ball game in baseball. And here you got Ray Rice, who could just go ahead and beat the hell out of women. And you've got, you know, racist owners. You've got NFL quarterbacks who think it's okay to walk around and show their junk and then grab people to take back in a daggone hotel room with them. I mean, this is really disturbing. It really is. What do you think?
Well, I was sitting down through them. The Ray Rice thing, I don't know why it took a video. In a way, that's pretty sorry-ass comment on society. He knocked her out. You know, that was understood from the get-go. So it's like, you know what? I don't need a video to make me think this guy's a worthless piece of crap. You know, you knocked the chick out, you know. And it's not like he belted you, you know. It's not like some movie scene where she actually, you know, it was a fair fight and she popped you one in the bar. It's like, well, you know, hits you hard enough, you might, you know, you might be in a fight.
That's
buddy.
It.
But yeah, he knocked her out in an elevator. It's like, I don't need a video. Ban his sorry ass. There's, you know, 200 colleges full of running backs that would be glad to have his job. And, you know, he's probably not that much better than a lot of them. So they should have banned his ass for life and run him out and, you know, why do we need a video to be outraged? Have we become that lazy in society? Before we have to see it, you know, it has to be like a video game before we can connect with it. And secondly, I'm with you. It's like, holy hell, you know, I don't even know what to say. He decked her, and
I'm telling you.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I mean, clearly, you know, Palmer has no self-esteem whatsoever, or she's in it for the money. I just don't get this. I really don't. The video was disturbing as hell, but unfortunately, Ed, and I think that is a reflection on society. I think you nailed it on the head. Unfortunately, the video is what is outraging people because now they see it firsthand. Yeah. You know, it's like the Mike Tyson and Robin Givens thing. You know, or the Mike Tyson rape deal. You know, they put Mike Tyson in jail for a few years saying that he raped this woman. This woman was in his limousine with him with access to a phone, followed him to his hotel room, and all of a sudden Mike Tyson raped her. Did he rape her? Did he not? I don't know. I think there's a lot of questions that really surround that, but he was held accountable.
Oh, he was. He was. And, he went to prison. He did his time. Like you said, Pete Rose went to prison, did his time, local boy. Paul Horning gambled on a few games, got banned, did his time, you know, and didn't bellyache about it. And nowadays, yeah, it's a sad statement for society that we feel like, you know, these people are so important that we can't not have them in our lives and have them on the TV. It's like, no. You know, it's like I've always thought Pete Rose should, you know, he's done his time. And he was I've always thought he should get in the Hall. I mean, my God, they've got some real characters in the Hall from bygone eras. They were full-on racist, full-on dirty, alcoholics, drug abusers. You know, they're all.
Well, I agree.
I do think Pete Rose should be in. That's a totally different discussion. But, yeah, it's sad when you start to think, you know, what happens if, you know, my God, if you could think even back into the 80s, what would happen to somebody if there was a home video, you know, VHS video of somebody decking a woman, you know, it wouldn't happen. It's just amazing. And then you think of some of the badasses that have been in football and stuff, and they weren't slapping women around. And it is amazing that society, like I say, it takes us so much to get outraged, and then at that, we're still not quite ready to let go because, you know, they got a rookie card of him or something. I mean, look at Mark McGwire.
Oh, yeah.
Just a decade ago, a pretty classy guy. He was doing performance-enhancing drugs that were not banned.
And well, that's
he's essentially been ostracized from the sport. They were not banned substances. They were purchased at GNC that we ran him out, you know. It's like, that's what, you know, he's not playing the game that Barry Bonds is playing, where he's, you know, getting designer steroids. They ran it out all the way.
Oh, I know.
It's the predictions out there. It's like, my gosh, we don't want to let our sports idols go. You know, we're willing to forgive and forget. We're willing to put up with so much crap. And we really don't get mad until we actually see the chick get the crap punched out of her. It's like, really? Come on.
Well, I think it's definitely ridiculous. I totally agree with you there. But it is interesting about our priorities. It really is a statement on society, and I think you nailed that on the head. I want to point out one real quick story. I don't normally do these health care things and all this other stuff, you know. But we have a serious virus that a respiratory thing that's affecting a hell of a lot of kids. There are 13 states involved, including Kentucky. It's a disease called Enterovirus 68. More than 900 kids across Colorado alone have been hospitalized with it. And I tell you, when you see this firsthand, it's very disturbing. We have plenty of cases right here in Kentucky. But essentially, kids are real susceptible to this. It starts out as like a normal cold or a flu. It looks like, you know, fever, sneezing, coughing, body aches, that kind of a deal. But then your body starts breaking out in a rash and some other things, and this thing is so dangerous that you can really go from, you know, just from having a cold 1 second and then minutes away from death. So a lot of our listeners have kids out there, and I just wanted to point this story out because it's not really getting a lot of attention, even though there appear to be hundreds, if not thousands, of kids involved with this right now. Previously, the most we had ever had was 100 children total, and we have outpaced that by far just in one state in Colorado. So Make sure you pay attention to this. Make sure you're talking to your pediatrician and ask these guys about enterovirus 68. They can test for it, and the sooner you can get tested and make sure if you're running any of those symptoms, the better off you're going to be. Even though it's a virus, they can't give you antibiotics for it. They don't work, but they can use steroid treatments and other things to help you with the respiratory illness so that you don't, you know, have any kind of problem breathing. But I wanted to point that out. Call it a public service plan if you want, really, truthfully. But I thought it was very, very disturbing. So we wanted to do that.
Actually, the media is now starting to get it out pretty well, because I have to be honest, when you started talking about that, I thought, oh, because as I told you, I was just a minute too late for getting to the show, going to check out a car for my youngest daughter. And mm-hmm. Mentioned to me, he's like, I got to go to the little clinic to go get checked out. And we said, oh, what's wrong? He said, I got this chest cold. And I mean, and the way we looked at each other, because we'd heard about it on the radio, we're like, uh-oh.
That's it.
I was like, here we go.
Well, it's a serious thing, you know, when your kids are in that kind of a situation. So we want to make sure we're doing our part. But enterovirus 68 is a very, very serious thing right now. We need to make sure we're paying attention. On to the bread and butter, man. I tell you what. Stories are out now. Walmart, as we know, has been a point of contention building a West End store. But Walmart has been under the gun because, you know, those activists like soon to be former, thank God, District 1 Councilwoman Attica Scott has been out there trying to stir up the whole world, trying to tell Walmart how much they should pay, what kind of building they should build. They can only hire employees, you know, within a block of the place. I mean, just stupid stuff. But anyway, Walmart is fighting back. They're sticking to their plan. They're going to put a suburban-style supercenter in the West End. They're going to have this massive parking lot that their original plan had in. A lot of people wanted Walmart to move the store and make it like a corner building lot location, that would be more conducive to what is aesthetically done in downtown Louisville. However, the surrounding area that Walmart is going to be at doesn't fit that 9-foot curb sidewalk and all the other crap that they're doing. So Walmart is just building a suburban-style supercenter there, as they would anywhere else, and as everybody else there is doing as well. Good, bad, other, what?
To me, I look at it, what was there before Walmart? It was a cigarette factory, right? Big old ugly-ass cigarette factory.
Right.
With parking out front. And what's there now? Oh, the vacant lot with a bunch of weeds on it where a cigarette factory used to be. So it's like, yeah, that falls into the category. I agree. If Walmart was agreeable, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask them to build, you know, some that might fit the architecture and the homes or something in the area. It's beautiful homes down there. But if they say no, you know, you just got to look at it and go, okay, well, Walmart's probably going to look a whole lot better than the cigarette factory that was there with its old, you know, painted up windows and stuff like warehouses do. It looks, you know, like 100-year-old warehouses look like. So it's like, guys, you know, let's put a little perspective in here. Let's take some photos from what was there and what is there and what's going to be there. And it's not so bad. And like I say, you can, you know, your produce is cheap. You can get a lot of, you know, it's going to be good. You're going to enjoy it when it gets down there.
Well, like that, you know, that seems to be the thing. Let's go to the phones. Paul, you're on the air. What's up, man?
You know, it never ceases to amaze me how certain community activists think that they can hold a sway over a corporation as large as Walmart and get away with a bluff. Those community activists that claimed that they wanted the store to butt up against Broadway with the store entrances, they are, first of all, they're being totally disingenuous. That area down around 18th and Broadway has for quite a number of years had businesses get built down there, and they did not butt up against the street, okay? So, again, the folks down there that are advocating for that, they're simply being disingenuous. Now, I would suspect that the people who are doing that are, in fact, connected to that Attica Scott woman down there, because she's just Looney Tunes. She's a socialist. She thinks that because she got elected that that was a blank check for her to go and do her will.
Let him correct you. Attica Scott was not elected. She was appointed.
You're right.
Well, you're right. That point taken. But the people down there decided that she didn't need to have a second helping at the table when she went goofy like that. So I applaud the people in that part of the county that said one time is enough for her. But that doesn't mean that her and her roadies are not doing some of this stupid stuff. And it just doesn't make any sense. I've been down at 18th and Broadway as recently as May of this year. And guys, I'm going to tell you, they have allowed the Louisville Jefferson County Planning and Zoning folks have allowed all sorts of stuff that doesn't even come close to conforming to the architectural style that these activists claim exists, which, by the way, it does not exist. It doesn't exist.
Well, and that's it. And that's exactly it. When you look at this, I mean, Stephen Porter, he's one of the attorneys who works on all these preservation issues all around Louisville. And he's out there, he's representing Open Louisville, which is a group that's supposedly dedicated to sustainable development. And I say supposedly dedicated because I don't see anything about sustainable development in Louisville that's ever going to happen with the leadership we have. But that's just me. But Porter goes on record and says if we put a suburban Walmart 400 feet back from the street, that's not part of the livability of our city, that Broadway can be and should be like Frankfurt Avenue or Bardstown Road. Now, if you go to those areas, for you guys that are not familiar with Louisville or those areas in Louisville, I mean, if you go to Frankfurt Avenue and Bardstown Road, down to the Highlands part of Bardstown Road, not all of Bardstown Road, that's a little bit misleading. Yeah, you have all of these, wall-to-wall shops. Most of these are small business owners. They're not big people like Walmart. They're small business owners. They have a niche market, and these shops are right there on a roadway, and you've got about a 9-foot curb area in those areas. So it's a walkable, livable thing, which is great, except as Paul just pointed out, Ed, 18th and Broadway, come on. That area has never been set up to be Frankfurt Avenue or Bardstown Road. And if they did set it up to be Frankfurt Avenue or Bardstown Road, there would never be enough business there to sustain the West End. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
There's one row of building. There's one row of storefronts on the north side of Broadway right there at 18th Street that does, in fact, look like some of the stuff you see in the Highlands. But you get away from thing else that's set back off the street some distance. And even in the Highlands, guys, the Mid-City Mall, when was that constructed? Was it in the 60s? The Mid-City Mall, it sits way back off the road.
Absolutely.
And in the infill development, there's fast food restaurants galore that are fairly new. They sit back off of Bardstown Road, too. So there's a whole bunch of hypocrisy. And, oh, by the way, Stephen Porter, he lives out in J-Town. He has a bed and breakfast. What does he care about 18th and Broadway?
Yeah.
Well, he's an attorney.
Is down the lines of the traditions and the style. Like I said, wasn't it a Brown Williamson factory for a while? Is that what used
That's
to
correct.
There?
Well,
yeah.
Of course,
right.
Yeah, it was tobacco, yeah.
Well, let's take a picture of that because nobody seemed to have a problem with that when it was there for whatever, 70 years. So it's like Walmart should say, so you want us to be true to the original architecture of the area, right? And it's like, yeah, well, okay, Exhibit A. Here's the Brown Williamson building.
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
We wanted to look at them and say, we could build a building that looks like that. Maybe going, oh, please don't.
But let's look at the bigger picture here, though. Seriously, let's look at the bigger picture here because Ed Paul pointed out that all of these businesses, a lot of these businesses down there, have not been done everything aesthetically or by the code. Because their shops aren't located right there on the streets and everything else. They sit back from the streets as well. And those were
no,
okay.
No, hold on. Ed, But, Ed, they did do it by the code, quite the contrary. The Louisville and Jefferson County Planning and Zoning Commission had approved all of these other businesses that sit off the road. So they did it technically by the code, but it doesn't conform to any type of architectural standard, and that's my criticism. Those activists down there that claim there's an architectural standard, they are just full of themselves. They're full of themselves.
Fair enough. Fair enough, but that's where I was heading. Planning and zoning are the ones who approved those establishments, the buildings, the architecture, everything. All of that was approved through planning and zoning. So is it right, is it fair to have planning and zoning, you know, say, okay, we're going to approve all of these. Would it be fair for them to not approve Walmart? I mean, where do you draw the line? You need jobs. You have been very inconsistent. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's where you get sued by Walmart. Mm-hmm. Or Walmart just tells you to shove it, you know, one of the two.
There you go. That's the thing, because planning and zoning is the one who approves all these projects. They've approved every other project. You know, you can't just, you know, say, okay, well, we've decided we're going to do it this way because we want to screw you into conforming to whatever we think you should be. And I think that that really, truly is the basic argument here. So when you look at the bigger picture, it's a waste of time. We've got another property.
That's a good way to put that. It is all of these activists are absolutely wasting everybody's time by raising these objections. Let me tell you this. The best news out of this whole situation is that the vast majority of people who live in that part of the county, they're going to be the winners in all this because Walmart's going to build their store. They're going to give these folks an opportunity to save a ton of money on everyday supplies that they need, and they're not going to have to travel over to Indiana and spend their money over there in order to get their groceries and their household goods. This is a terrific win for that part of Jefferson County. It's terrific.
Well, and most of the residents,
even a lot of people who don't like Walmart still shop there because of the exact reasons you're saying, Paul. I mean, I'm not a big fan of all, you know, well, I'm not a huge fan of Walmart, but I will openly admit I'm probably go there twice a week because it's just like you're saying. It's so very nice to be able to go and get laundry detergent, bag apples for my daughters, some bananas, some cereal, some milk, and some windshield washer fluid for my car, and be able to do it all in one basket, you know, and they're going to love that down there.
Well, and they are, and most of the residents that I've spoken to anyway, and there was a couple of polls done, most of the people were upset because the activists are trying to stop the project. They'd say the same thing. We need this in our neighborhood so that we can daggone benefit as well. You know, and you're talking about, like Paul also pointed out, the other part of this too. I mean, if you're spending your money in Louisville, you know, instead of Indiana, that's a plus for Louisville. So I'm having a hard time understanding the logic of the argument myself, but apparently it's going to continue on. That's just the way it's going to be for a while. And here's another thing I have a problem with, and I'm going to get to another property story in a minute, but I want to point this out before we get there. But, you know, the city was supposed to start allowing the Parking Authority of River City, an Atlanta, Georgia-based company who monitors all our parking meters. They're the ones who write you the tickets, and they give the kickback to the city for it. But they have never been. We have never charged parking fees at parking meters on Saturdays and Sundays. It's just something we don't do. We never have, even though there's been a law on the books for 40 years that says, you know, they can do it. They never have. Well, lo and behold, now Park has decided they want to start charging meter fees on Saturdays in downtown Louisville. That's basically somewhere around 4,800, 5,000 meters in downtown on Saturday. Metro Council members appear to say this is a good thing. And I tell you why. You know, the city police used to take care of being responsible for the meters. They didn't write a lot of tickets. The city didn't like it. That's why I hired this Atlanta, Georgia Park outfit, which to me is nothing more than a criminal, in my opinion. But, you know, we've got Councilman David Tandy. He thinks it's okay to let this go forward. We've got Councilwoman Marianne Butler. She don't see any problem with charging parking fees on Saturday. You know, Metro Council President Jim King said he doesn't want the council to get involved in this and let Park decide what they want to do with the parking issues. You know, so we've got all of these things going on. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? Let's start with Ed. Is that a good idea or a bad idea to start charging parking fees on a Saturday at the meters?
I don't think it's either one. I mean, if it's legal, it's legal, and they have the right to do that. No telling, because I almost feel like I'm not one to comment on it because I don't go downtown on Saturdays, you know? Like, I don't know why I would find myself down there, but it would make a difference, I guess, you know, if I were going down there to do something. It would definitely put my activity, it would take a lot of the relaxation out and would put my activity on a timeline that I would, you know, like, hey, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to take in a show or dinner or a few drinks or something? It'd be like, no, we're gonna go down, we're going to eat. And we're going to go home. Like, why? The meter says 2 hours. We ain't pushing it. You know, through the entertainment aspect of it. We're not, you know, we're not open meeting yet. So, I mean, if it's their legal right to do it, knock yourself out. Now, no mystery as to why the council critters are doing it, because, hell, some of them, it's in their district. So most of their constituents, like Candy and stuff, probably aren't going to park down there anyway. They live down there. But beyond that, hey, it's more cash flow. You know, somebody's getting it. That whether if a company's getting it or the city's getting a cut, yep, it's just like I always keep saying. It's like boiling the frog. The death by 10,000 paper cuts. You know, they're going to raise this, they're going to raise that. Well, this is probably won't net them, but, you know, a couple hundred grand a year. But you know what? It's another couple hundred grand. It's another bit that's going to work out to, you know, maybe it works out to $600,000-$700,000 a year for the city on their cut for the meters and or the tickets. So, yeah, that's like squeezing just another dollar out of every man, woman, and child in the city or the metro, and that's what they're doing. It's just another creative way, slimy way, but creative way of getting just a little, you know, just going back to the well and getting a little bit more money. So, yeah.
Well,
yeah. They'll milk this one, and then they'll find something else to go at you for you know, a couple dollars a year so that a dillweed like Dan Johnson can say, hey, it's only a couple dollars a year. Get over it.
Well, and that's a major problem. Paul, go ahead.
I'm going to say this a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I think it's a great idea for them to do that. Let me tell you some of the results that will occur when they do that. First of all, one of the city's largest downtown celebrations that happens to happen on a Saturday called Thunder Over Louisville. Look at the amount of revenue that will be generated from people who would rather be spending their time down on the waterfront enjoying themselves, and then they'll get to come back to their cars and find a ticket on them for God only knows how much money. Yeah, that's going to be really well received. Also,
I'll make you a wager right now. If they enforce this and they allow this to occur, the mayor and the council will step in and they will save us from it on that day. They'll get a big headline news and everything. The city council and the mayor are waiving the traffic, you know, waiving the parking fees for Thunder Over Louisville. You know, so they'll be getting all these accolades and press and stuff for simply giving us a day that it used to be.
Well, here's
and
the thing, though.
The businesses. Now, hang on, Ed. The other thing is that they. I think somewhere some of the businesses downtown think it'll be a good thing because the turnover at the meters will increase, and that will increase the number of people that visit their businesses. Well. Yeah, the restaurants aren't necessarily going to benefit from that because some of those restaurants, they want you to linger, and if you linger too long, I mean, are you going to be enjoying your meal while you're worried about whether or not your meter needs to get plugged again? No, I don't think so. So on the restaurants, they're not going to directly benefit from the 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. parking enforcement time zone. They may benefit. Oh, excuse me, there won't be any change then from the 6 p.m. and later because that situation isn't really going to change with this new enforcement. So I don't see any benefits to the businesses downtown. I see a lot of disadvantages for the civic events that everybody, that this government and all these agencies say, come downtown, enjoy yourself, and you'll get a ticket now that we're going to have Saturday enforcement. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
see, and that's the thing.
That'll play really well, guys.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, back in January of this year, WHES 11 actually did one of their investigation stories, if you want to call that. But, you know, Park is really, truly a cash cow, according to them, and I agree with it. They brought in more than $2.8 million in revenue from meters just in 2013. They also brought in an additional $2 million in citation revenue. So you're looking at $4.8 million a year that they brought in just from the meters and citations. And as near as I can tell from their story, that doesn't even include the money that they bring in, because they also take care of 17 parking garages and a whole host of other things. So, you know, all of this money is going to Park, an Atlanta, Georgia-based company. I can't stress that enough, folks. Let me repeat that for you. An Atlanta, Georgia-based company, because we clearly have nobody here who's smart enough to open up a business and walk around and say, hey, that meter's expired, let's write a ticket, right? But, you know, this is the thing. So we're sending all this money, once again, out of town. You know, it's disturbing to me. We just had a 2.3% increase with an LG&E franchise fee. MSD, of course, is going up again. You know, Louisville Water Company is playing games with us. All of these different fees that idiots like Dan Johnson want to sit out there and scream, well, it's only a dollar or two a year, add up to be a lot of money. And when you look at most of the people who live downtown, who presumably would be the ones who are going to be using the meters, because I'll be honest with you, a lot of people ain't going downtown on the weekends. The people with the money that are downtown 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, are the ones who are working downtown, okay? And they've all got parking passes for the parking garages for the most part. So the people who are using these meters downtown are the poorest among us. So now we're taking even more money out of their pocket, which is less money that they had to spend for the retailers. So anybody who wants to make the argument that, you know, well, the retailers think this will be great because traffic's going to turn over every 2 hours, that's living in a fantasy land, in my opinion. So, you know, is this the right thing to do, to give more money to an out-of-town firm? And why is our Democratic Metro Council saying, this is okay, this is good, let's take more money from the people? Because it's not going to amount to a hill of beans for the year.
Well, statements. Like I said, they're very creative, they're very resourceful at finding new ways to tax the metro population, and to do so in a way that in enough cases they can look at their people and say, oh, well, it doesn't really amount to much, or this doesn't apply to you. And that's what this is, just another one of those. I say, if they work half as hard at finding ways to take little 1% nuggets of revenue from the taxpayers, if they work half as hard just to be efficient and ethical, we'd have a hell of a city on our hands. It'd be a huge improvement.
And we know we're not going to get efficiency. I mean, Councilman David Tandy in District 4 says he likes this idea. It's no big deal. Let it go on. You know, but I'm going to monitor this situation and see how it plays out. You know, David Tandy was also responsible for monitoring the Cordes Group situation to see how it played out. And as an attorney, signed a non-disclosure, so we the people will never know what those books look like. I mean, this is the disturbing thing. Then you got Jim King that says it's okay, leave the Metro Council out of it, but the Metro Council will pass an ordinance making it free parking on Thunder. You can bet that. So the Metro Council is already going to be involved. And then you put Mary Ann Butler in there and everything else. This is just crazy to me.
I'll make sure to call the media in for that one.
Oh, there ain't no doubt about it. There ain't no doubt about it. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we get back, I want to get into another story. I told you guys I had another property story, but I wanted to talk about that for a minute first. We're going to talk about this when we get back. Spalding University really just got away with a coup, and I tell you, for those not paying attention, I think you're really going to like this. So stick around and listen to us after the break. You're listening to the Ed Spencer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, and we are back. I tell you, we've lost Paul for a moment. I don't know what's going on there. We are back. Welcome back to the Ed Springsteen Show right here at the MVM Radio Network. You still have a little bit of time to call. 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 are the numbers. For you guys in the listening queue, just hit that number one on your dial pad and we'll bring you in as soon as possible. It looks like we may have lost somehow, and I guess we've got it back now. Ed, you're back with us, right?
Yeah, that was weird. I'm just standing there, you know, for gabbing on, and all of a sudden that English lady came in and said, the extension you've requested is no longer in service. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was weird. Apparently, Paul did the same thing. When I clicked you guys,
I'll just dial back in.
Well, when I clicked you and Paul back into the live studio, it kept getting me the number you've reached is no longer in service or something like that. And I'm like, what in the world is that about? And then you both disappeared. Welcome back, Paul. Welcome back, Ed. I tell you, we want to get into this next story, and I tell you why. For many months now, heck, for a year or more, you know, I've been talking about this property at 8th and Kentucky here in Louisville, that there was a major plan put together, that this property was going to be bought. It was going to be a workplace training facility. I told the whole world that Kevin Cosby backed out of the deal. In my opinion, he was paid off to do so. Greg Fisher backed out of the deal there because he wanted to give it to his sister Lynn Fisher at JCTC out in the East End and make sure that her workforce training group, Catalyst Learning, so that she was going to get all the financial benefit out of it, make the rich richer. Well, I think I can tell you now, we have a story out today in the Courier-Journal, and it was very interesting. It actually came out Saturday. It was out over the weekend. Spalding University, they compete in NCAA Division III, and they have 16 athletic teams. Spalding University actually just bought that exact property for roughly $960,000. This property, you know, what should have been and could have been so much more. So now we've got Spalding buying this property. So now Spalding University's athletic fields will be next to Simmons College. You know, but it will be open to Simmons College to use. You know, I don't know if this was part of the program as well, because it's really got me disturbed that Kevin Cosby allowed this to happen and Greg Fisher pushed this. Greg Fisher, of course, Spalding's president is Tory Murden. Everybody should know Tory Murden. You know, I'm trying to be very, very good here. But it would appear to me on the surface that Tory Burch got some special privilege to get this property as Spalding's president, that Greg Fisher and them were glad to get rid of this property so he could try to take it out of the mix and the conversation and the ongoing lawsuit that's up against him right now. And, you know, all of these different things. And, of course, Simmons College got full accreditation, a $300,000 annual federal grant, and now apparently they're going to have some nice fields there that they're going to be able to use at their discretion. Anybody see a problem with this?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I kind of digress back to our very first conversation. It's like, great. Again, is this where we are with a society that we place a higher value on sports fields than we do on a technical training center? Okay.
Huh?
You know, it's like, look, you know, to me, when you have an area like that and you have options to put like a training center, I've always been wanting to look at it. And not that I'm like, you know, some evil capitalist, but I, you know, you want to look at the return on the investment. It's like, okay, can we use this property downtown Louisville, not like we're filling up pristine farmland, downtown Louisville, can we use this property to learn how to make things or to make things? No.
All right.
Let's just cover it in dirt, put some chalk lines on it, and play some games on it. You know,
and there's some other.
I truly love sports, but you know, in East End, you know what they do out here is we have sports and recreation on areas, but that's just to do something with it before they decide to build condos on it.
I'll give you that, but, you know, it's really interesting, too. And then, of course, we have to look at there could even be a potential environmental hazard here that they're going to build another, you know, sports center or sports field on. I mean, when you look at there's two pieces of property that adjoin each other there. 916 South 8th Street is the first one we'll talk about. But, you know, when you look at this, that property purchase was $385,000 from a place called Dover Energy. Dover Energy is basically a manufacturing company, so, you know, they haven't used that property in quite some time, and, you know, so now you got this property, there's probably some environmental hazards there, because when you have manufacturing or machining or anything else, it, as you know, it requires oil and different things like that, so now we may have another situation there, but it's also interesting to me because the other piece of property that adjoins that is 939 South 9th Street. The Dover property with Dover Energy is basically identical in size to the other one, or close enough. They got $385,000 for their size property. But lo and behold, 939 South 9th Street was paid almost twice that. They were paid $600,000 for the same size property that butts up against it. The people who owned that was Huber Book Enterprises. Haven't got a lot of information on them, haven't had a lot of time to research. However, you know, for me, I think there's probably a connection here to John L. Huber, who most people know is the former president of the Louisville Water Company. You know, folks, I don't think the apple falls far from the tree, and I know people think I'm a conspiracy kind of a guy, and perhaps I am. Paul, you know real estate. What's your initial reaction to this?
Well, that, you're getting into a commercial real estate transaction, and I'll tell you, commercial real estate transactions are a different animal. You have to have a couple of things that just aren't easy to pull together. Number one, you have to have the right connections and the right negotiations, okay? Commercial is really, it's a hardball arena as a general rule, but if you've got friends in all the right places, it certainly becomes easier. I do find it kind of fascinating that Spalding University has to go way over to 8th and 9th Street in order to put sporting fields, okay? Now, Spalding University is not known necessarily for having a really profoundly good or dynamic or well-known sports program. So most of their sports is going to be with other small colleges like that, and they're going to be doing this mainly for their current students and their alumni, all right? But I don't think Spalding has any visions of trying to become a University of Kentucky or a University of Louisville, or for that matter, a Bellarmine. So, I find that they buying 7 acres of land in the inner city is kind of suspect. Number two, Spalding University as far as I know, is likely to be a tax-exempt organization, which means all the money that they spend on that property, including in the purchase, they will not be paying 1 cent, not 1 cent in state, city, or county taxes or school board taxes. So, again, you know, you have to have people on the inside who can help you put these kinds of deals together. And I just don't think that this was just a good fortune kind of situation for Spalding University. I think it was a coordinated effort among the power structure here in Jefferson County.
And see, I'm totally with you on that, and that's my problem. Apparently, Spalding is going to meet with their Board of Trustees this week. They're going to try to come up with a $20 million capital campaign that they're calling for school improvements. About 6 to 7 of the $20 million is going to go for the athletic fields that they for this property they just purchased. Now, forgive me, folks, I do not have my notes in front of me, but I've done all this work and all this other stuff on the workplace training facility trying to bring that story to you. At the time, this workplace training facility was talked about, was agreed upon by the mayor, by Kevin Codby, and by a whole host of others. There was about $2 million in federal grant money that was available. And that money was going to be used to purchase the land at 8th and Kentucky for the workplace training facility. So when I sit here and I look at this, Spalding President Tory Merton, who is connected to the power structure in Louisville, that now they're going to get this property for less than $1 million. These two parcels of land were greatly, they paid quite different on two parcels of land. It becomes a very disturbing thing to me. Is this part of the deal that Kevin Codby agreed to for the future? And let me throw this at you. These properties were actually sold in February. In February, we were all over this property, and nobody went public about it until now. Why did they wait until now to go public with the sale of this property? Paul, any idea?
Well, no, I don't really have any ideas that make any sense from a real estate point of view, because I took a look at the deeds for these two parcels, and they were recorded in February. So, it was a done deal way back when. And normally, governments and colleges, too, when they do something that is really good for the community or really good for the college, they like to make the public at large aware of it. They don't even have any firm plans in place for this property. You just said that they've got to go to the Spalding Board of Directors or Board of Trustees in order to cobble together a plan to go get funding to improve this land. So they have nothing to present, but for some reason they decided to publicize it. And oh, by the way, for Ed Martin, Ed, this is the land, and you're probably familiar with the company that was on there. It's the Seeley Cook Division of the Dover Corporation, and I'll bet you probably have some background on that as well.
Well, I tell you what's really.
It doesn't ring a bell right off, but probably something we can find out about.
Well, we're going to have.
They were into machining and stuff. Yeah, they were. They made machine stuff and a whole bunch of things related to that. So they were.
What's fascinating to me as well. What was fascinating to me as well is this, because the original workforce training facility, like I said, and I was wrong on the numbers, it's not 2 million, folks, I was just checking my information on that. There was $1.1 million grant money that was already slated to go to the YMCA. The YMCA decided they didn't want that money. Greg Fisher, your illustrious Democratic, liberal, socialist mayor, was going to take that money, and they had asked to have that money redirected to purchase these two parcels of property. So here's what I'm looking at now, and maybe I'm wrong. You know, somebody tell me I'm wrong, because I don't think I am. But you had $1.1 million that was going to pay for these two properties, and now those two properties sold for $960,000. So, you know, these two owners of this property, for whatever reason, just got screwed out of $140,000, or did they? Because, you know, you had $1.1 million grant that was going to buy the property. Then, of course, you had over $20 million that was available in federal grants that was going to build the workplace training facility. And they decided to go ahead and do this for a measly $2 or $3 million athletic field? Are you kidding me? What's the real story here? The real story is they did not want to put anything in the West End that was going to give the daggone West End population, primarily African-American, in my opinion, the opportunity to succeed in the workplace by giving them the tools necessary to learn. I think this was set up a long time ago. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's so similar to what I said at the beginning. It's an insult to the West End, to West Louisville, that, you know, the mayor and everybody thinks it's a great idea to build ball fields. You know, yeah, that should keep everybody happy. You know, when you
right.
have the opportunity, you have an opportunity to bring jobs and or training to the area. You know, if you really care about people, you bring jobs or training. If you're condescending and you're kind of like the Romans in the decline of the Roman Empire, you know, you give them games, you know. You like, oh, well, you know, so you don't have a job, but hey, look, we got these ball fields, and you have access to them, you know. You can go out and play some basketball. That ought to keep you happy and keep you voting Democrat. You know, you didn't need a job training center or a decent employer or a manufacturer that just keeps abusing. You didn't need that down there. We're going to build you some ball fields, and you're going to like it.
And that's exactly it. I mean, and how many jobs did this just cost us? How many people does it take to maintain a football field? How many people does it take to do maintenance? How many employees are you going to hire here? Some of which will be seasonal, okay? There will only be, you know, a handful of employees. When you have a workplace training facility down here, not only are you creating good paying jobs and creating revenue, federal grant money that's already allocated that doesn't cost us a dime, state or local, okay, and you're creating a workforce that the business in Louisville is begging for. And this has been the primary problem with these clowns at GLI and the clowns at Greg Fisher's administration and basically the whole liberal mindset here in Louisville. They could care less. This is nothing but the good old boy network at play, in my opinion. But I do know this much. We are fast out of time. Paul, you got anything else you want to say?
Yeah, you know, this Seeley Cook division, it is located right across the street from one of City of Louisville's housing projects. I don't know the name, but I do know that it is right across the street, subsidized apartment living for folks in need. And I too, Ed, find it a shame that they could have, the folks down there could have had a state-of-the-art training center and education center right across from where they live, which would make it real convenient. And instead, a private college is going to use this for private athletic reasons. And it's just unfortunate that training center did not get built on this tract of land. It really is.
Well, that's what we commonly refer to as piss poor leadership. Ed Martin, final thoughts.
Yeah, final thoughts. Have you seen what I'm doing on social media lately with words?
Yes, I have.
My favorite word of the day is, and actually I encountered some on the way home today. Final thought. Narcissist.
Narcissist. Okay, go ahead.
Narcissist. These are the people who ride bicycles in the middle of the road, usually at a leisurely pace, especially when there's bike paths around. And they're just, it's just all about them. And they'll hold up traffic and not give a damn and think they're still better than you. So that's your word for the day, people. Narcissist.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I tell you, folks, you know, it's really incredible to me how much we continue to lose in Louisville because of poor leadership. We continue to lose all across the board. You know, we have so many opportunities that are presented to us on a silver platter that it defies logic that this leadership can't see their nose despite their face. I mean, it's the truth. You look at parking on Saturday. Are we really losing any money allowing a citizen to park on a public street that we paid for on a weekend? Come on. This is ridiculous. This is nothing more than more of a money grab for an out-of-town person like Park, who originates in Atlanta, Georgia. And our council Democrats say that's okay. No big deal. We'll go ahead and let them do it just because it's been on the books for 40 years. It's ridiculous. It's irresponsible. Then we look at situations like this. We had a great opportunity to provide millions upon millions of dollars in investment in the Park Hill corridor that so desperately needs it. We could have been the leader and the face of the entire country with this workplace training facility. We could have led the way instead of being a follower. And we could have done that by working together in our poorest communities and with our African-American brothers and sisters. Instead, the leadership decided to make sure that the pro-white community got to keep it. And unfortunately, Simmons College President Kevin Cosby, in my opinion, went along with it. That's disturbing to me. That's disturbing to me. This is exactly how leadership wins, and we continue losing. They nickel-dime us to death, and then they take any opportunity we have to improve our lot away from us so that the rich Democrat in Louisville gets richer and the rest of us get poorer. I don't think there's any other way to put that. I can't sit here and blame Republicans. They have no control. I would love to sit here and say the Republicans are the problem. On a national level, I believe they're as much of a problem as the Democrats. We refer to them as the Uniparty. But on a local level, the liberal establishment has had all the power for decades upon decades, and we still continue to lose. I'm disturbed by that, and you should too. You should be very disturbed by that. And you need to look in the mirror and ask yourself why we keep electing people who continue to bring us down. Why do we keep allowing them to pad the pockets of their buddies and their friends to make sure that they can continue to maintain power for some ego trip that they've got? It doesn't make any sense to me. And that's the bottom line. Until you can wake up, smell the coffee, and quit allowing this kind of abuse to be done in your community, you have no one to blame but yourself. And that really is unfortunate. That's it for tonight, folks. Dale the Truth will be here tomorrow night for his Tuesday Night Truth show, as always. And I will return on Wednesday and Thursday night. All shows are 7 o'clock right here, same time, same channel. Dr. G, real quick, I told you guys I went to a forum on last Thursday with Dr. G, Dr. Gerald Higginbotham. You guys can check out his website at drgerald.net. That's drgerald.net. But anyway, we are working with Dr. G, and hopefully we'll have him here Thursday night. He's trying to clear his schedule now, and I'm trying to make sure we can make it all work. But we're going to bring him on. I think you're going to be fascinated with the guy because he gets it. He gets where liberalism has failed all of us. And by the way, he happens to be African American, so there's a big surprise for you, right? Tune in, man. We'll see you then. Take care. Have a great night. God bless.